Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Good News Update from Living Compassion. My name is Justin. I'll be hosting this portion of the show this evening, and I'm pleased to be joined by Jen, who's here to give us an update on the Africa Project. Jen, what's the latest?
Thanks, Justin. I've been getting these emails from Teresa that are just so fun that I thought it's time to do another update. It's amazing what's going on, and I was thinking about it today. And it feels like that place, you know how in practice we always say, wow, now we are really somewhere in practice. I mean, things are just really deepening now. And then we realize, wait, we've been saying that every year. And it kind of feels like it's that same way with the transformation in Cantalomba, where we just keep hitting these new levels. So for folks who are following the blogs, who have followed the blogs in our last trip, we continued to focus on English. But we stumbled on this really interesting thing, two-thirds of the way through the trip, in realizing, again, that the kids don't know how to read, you know, and that's not surprising at all for just a billion different reasons. Many kids can't afford to go to school, so that's obvious why they can't read. And then the kids who do go to government schools, they're in classrooms with literally like 60 and 70 kids.
I wouldn't think they would have any much to read laying around the house either. I mean, how are you going to learn to read if you don't have anything to read with?
And I think that's the number one factor. You just hit right on it because, you know, I mean, kids in the United States are read to before they're born. You know, I mean, just from then they're itty bitty and they're surrounded by books. And, you know, by the time I've seen, you know, 3 and 4 year olds who are, quote, reading because they know what their parents, what the words on the page are going to say. And so, you know, it's the classic. The parent tries to trick the kid when it's time for bed and skip a page. Mom, you didn't read that page, you know. I mean, they know because they're just immersed in reading and words and books. And that's exactly it. Kids in Cantalomba don't have anything. So the way that it happened, I mean, it's just one of those series of amazing miracles, is we found out that, I don't know how many people grew up with phonics readers, but, you know, the old Dick and Jane and those, you know, cats out on the mat with bats, those books. Anyway, that's what I learned to read with. And we found out that the Zambian equivalent of that is Melita and Jane. And they have these books that are just tiny, you know, they're like 15 pages and they're just basically Xerox pages in their paper. And that's what everyone learns to read on. And the way that we found it is that this vendor was just coming through the community selling his wares. And he had a few of these books. And Veronica and Teresa, and they were all excited because it's one of those things, you know, oh, like from your childhood, remember these books? So we bought some. And then we started to just sit down with the kids and read them. And the kids loved it. And what was amazing to watch is every child from like grade one, so, you know, 6, 7 years old, all the way up through like grade six, so 12 and 13 and even 14-year-old kids who have had basically no exposure to reading were just eating it up to sit here and read these books.
So let me catch up with you. I think I may have repressed this part of my education. So the books are designed to help you read faster because of the way the spelling is or something?
Well, what it is that, for anyone who's been a teacher knows that, you know, just like anything, methodologies of teaching go in waves. So once, you know, they'll go, oh, phonics, that's definitely the way to go, and then it will go over to, no, whole language, that's the way to go. But at any rate, for anyone who grew up in a time where phonics was really the way to go, it's these readers that build on themselves. So you'll have a book that will focus all on the sound of A, you know, the short A sound, and then you'll have books that will have lots of words with all the long A sound and so on. So you get used to the sound.
I see. Yeah, I really get the building. I mean, it's interesting, obviously, to the kids. So they want to read, and so they learn sort of by accident.
Yeah.
It's a lot different than what happens standing in front of a classroom with a chalkboard thing.
Yeah. Well, and I think what was so amazing for the kids, especially like those fourth graders, fifth graders, sixth graders, is to watch them, this is what I projected onto it, to watch themselves read and to realize, oh, my God, I can do this. Because I think by the time you reach that age, there's this humiliation. You know, I mean, you really should know how to read. And, you know, I'm sure just like all of us, it's something wrong with me and I'm, you know, I'm stupid or I'm whatever it is. And so then to watch themselves get past that. And, I mean, I can remember that magic of I remember sounding out the word refrigerator and just looking at that word on the page and just going, and then going, oh, I know what that is. And so that watching them do that was such an amazing process.
So they're old enough to be behind, but they're not too old to, they're still sponges.
Yeah.
And they can just take it in really, really fast. And it's exciting to them, it sounds like, that they can. And they're it's sort of like their personal paradigms are breaking open or shifting or something, because they're seeing in themselves something that they've come to believe over time maybe they don't have.
Yeah. And that, I think, is the thing that's been so fun in getting the updates from Teresa. So this thing has happened, which none of us, you know, predicted. So simultaneously, we were putting in that, you know, All-Stars. We started calling it the All-Stars program. So really encouraging kids to come every day to the extra lessons, which are really focused around English, and they get to put a star in the chart for every day that they come. And that was so much fun. I mean, again, kids of every age were excited about that. And as Sherry says, because we are too, you know, we love our little stickers in our charts every day when we do our meditation or we do our whatever it is. So who can't relate to that? So there was that piece in place. But what the kids did, so then the grown-ups, you know, kept the program going, and boy, bless their hearts, those guys have really dived in with the extra lessons and really helping out and making a huge difference. And then the kids have brought this incredible life to it where they asked the teachers, the grown-ups, they decided they wanted to have contests, they call it, on Fridays. So it, for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 Fridays, they have these, quote, contests where they have all week long, they study a thing that they're reading. And then any kid, so the fun part is the only contest is with themselves. It's not with each other. It's not like who's doing the best. Any student who can read it gets, I think it's a pencil and a notebook that the cooperative is purchasing for the children with funds that they get from the water tap.
So is it your sense that, I mean, I'm just projecting here that really the difference is the technology. You know, that the capability has always been there, probably the interest and certainly the willingness on the part of the staff. But there's with those phonics books, suddenly there's a way it can happen on its own, or it can happen in a way that the kids can generate the enthusiasm because they have a way to actually do that. It doesn't have to come directly from the grown-ups.
Yeah, you know, what you're saying is exactly the thing that's been so interesting to me to watch is, gosh, these very simple phonics readers books, why has this not come up before? Well, who knows why it hasn't come up before, but it's like all these factors just lined up, and everything that has come before, it has taken to get us to where we are now. I mean, you know, 6 years ago, we were at the level of, okay, we got to stop diarrhea. We got to get these kids, you know, so that they can actually concentrate. They were hungry, they were sick, they were dying, they were had infection after infection. You know, so we had all of that to do for the first number of years. Once we had that under our belt, then it was just, you know, getting the numbers. We've got 800 kids in there. And I think a big piece of it is the attention, you know, the care and attention. And I think the All-Stars is one of the things that started to put that into place, because what it felt like was really being communicated in that was, you matter. You know, it was such a big signal to them that we want you here every day, not for some, you know, disciplinary reason, but because we love you, because you matter, because we care, the staff cares about you, you know, your partners in the United States care about you. It's important. You matter. We want you here. And I feel like just all those things kind of came together to create this perfect next step.
Yeah, that's cool. It's so how it is with practice and maybe just life in general, isn't it? I mean, that guy with those phonics book, he might have been coming through there once a month for the last 4 or 5 years, and it just wasn't time.
Yeah.
But now suddenly it's time. And, you know, I was hearing too, you know, I'm totally making this up, but so there's we're basically providing an environment for well-being for these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the first level really is the physical.
Mm-hmm.
And so that to at least some extent has been taken care of. They're eating and they're drinking clean water, and so a lot of those kinds of things are taken care of. And then what I just got when you said that last bit was now the emotional part
mm-hmm.
is kind of there, you know, because you know, nobody can learn. You can't learn if you don't feel valuable.
Yeah.
And so like that gets in place. And then I think that's been in the works for a long time. But now suddenly there's new ways of doing that, new ways of communicating that. And then there's an opening for this technology to come in to really assist in the next level, which is the actual concrete learning part.
Yeah, yeah. There's really so much in what you just laid out. I think that's absolutely true. You know, we kept using the image, I think, in the blogs of, and we used it with the whole team when we were talking about all these programs when we were there, of that image of the chick inside of its shell ready to hatch, and it's tapping inside of its shell, and the mama chick is tapping outside of its shell, and boy, does it feel like that's happening. That, and the other thing that's so fun about it that I heard in what you just said is that thing of, you know, really providing them an opportunity for well-being. And what practice is based in, what the whole project in Cantalomba is based in, is for anyone who wants it. And that's what happened with this program, is all of these kids opted into it. They said, these are the kids who stepped forward and said, yeah, you know what, after school, I want to come, I want to have my lunch, and then I want to stay for these extra lessons. Many, many, most of the kids didn't opt into that. Mm-hmm. And guess what's happening now? What's going on over there? What are you guys reading? What are you doing over there? Mm-hmm. And truly, the kids are flooding in because, I mean, it's the St. Francis thing. It's the practice model. You know, we practice. We are practice. And then that just, anyone who has that spark within themselves sees it. They recognize it. They see it mirrored. And then they come towards it. So there's no having to convince people. There's no, this is the best way for you to, best thing for you to do, the right thing to do. It's just an opportunity, and it attracts those who want it, who are willing for it.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because I'm betting, you know, every individual has to have that switch inside mm-hmm. before they're ready to step into something like that, and especially if they have to opt in. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, I'm just imagining myself being one of the outsiders who didn't opt in at the beginning, mm-hmm. and in order to opt in, you know, I have to kind of move to the place that they did where, yeah. well, maybe I matter too.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they care about me too.
Yeah.
And then suddenly there's that opening and the space is there to actually step into it and do the learning.
Yeah, yeah. And I suspect, you know, as you say that, what the really fun challenge is going to be on our side, the U.S. side, is that they're all going to opt in.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're all going to need to opt in because that's going to mean, you know, okay, let's build another building, you know, because let's find more quiet places. I mean, we have Teresa, actually the whole team, we all talked about just visions of just very, having a place, a side of the compound that would be noisy, eating and playing and soccer games and all that kind of stuff, and then a side of the compound that's basically one giant, beautiful library where you can just come, you can choose a book, you can sit down, you can be quiet, you can learn, you can do your homework, you can get extra help. And, you know, all of that is funding and down the road in the future. But yeah, I just feel like as they rise to the challenge, at least for me, it's so inspiring for us to rise to the challenge and to provide that because it's just such a great model for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very inspiring all the way around. So we've come to the end of our time. Were there other things you wanted to get in at this time?
Only one just other little success story, which I think is so fun, just right along these lines. Natasha, who is one of the gals who stole my heart. I can't really call her a girl. I mean, she's 13 years old, and in Cantalomba, many 13-year-olds have, you know, are married or have kids or that kind of thing. Bless her heart, she's a handful of girls who have stayed in school. She's in grade 6. And she, just at the very end of our trip, she had stopped going to school, long story, but some school fees she wasn't able to meet the school fees thing. So she and a handful of 12 other girls who were in that same situation, we sponsored to get them back in school, get them the uniforms they needed, the books, et cetera, et cetera. And they just took some standardized tests, and she came out number one in her class. So I just think, oh, my gosh. In, you know, 8 weeks' time, she went from having to drop out of school to the top of her class. So.
Wow, that is so amazing. Well, gosh, I hope she can. I imagine the pressure is intense to do the same thing that everyone else is doing and everyone's always done. So. But maybe, you know, with the support she's getting, you know, she can be one who can, kind of, as you were saying earlier, she can be one who models another possibility by living the other possibility.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. Thanks, Justin.
Thanks, Jen. Okay, Michael, turn it over to you.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Justin. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. My pleasure to be joined tonight by Justin, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Justin.
Me again.
Well, that was a firecracker conversation.
It sure was. Boy, there's a lot going on, isn't there?
Yeah, Yeah, that is so exciting. Can I share what I saw about it?
Absolutely.
What was coming together for me toward the end of the conversation as you were talking about the environment, I just pictured, as you and Jen were both seeing, that it's the same thing with practice and at the monastery. You know, you set up the environment, it's beautiful, it's nature, there's the privileged environment that guides us in how we interact, there's a beautiful accommodation to stay in, the food is prepared with a lot of love and kindness, and, you know, you can't make people, you know, let go or believe nothing, but if you put all those pieces in place, you know, and you have the skilled facilitators and the exercises that guide us to that place, you know, it really provides everything, I would say, the door that opens, and all we have to do is just step through it.
Yeah, boy, that's an excellent point. So people still have to opt in, don't they?
Yes, exactly, as you were saying.
Mm-hmm. But just like in Cantalamba, you know, we need an environment of support, and like at the monastery, we might talk about it as a place that recognizes authenticity.
Yes.
So that doesn't believe that who people are is their conditioning.
Yes.
But that supports the heart rather than, you know, the self-hating system that's been trying to control us all the time. And with that environment, and then, you know, like kind of like we were saying earlier, each person has to find that place inside that
yes.
says yes to that, and then they can opt in.
Yes. 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 And practice does such a wonderful job of, you know, creating all those entry points for us to opt in.
Yeah, that's neat. Well, you know, and just kind of on a larger level, I think, you know, that the work in Africa has done that from the beginning also, because it's never been a, you know, we're going to go in there and do it our way and tell you what to do kind of a thing.
Yes.
It's just been, you know, how can we help? And,
yes.
And the energy of the program really is generated from inside the community. And, and that's how it is too here, really. I mean, there's guidelines, there's guidance. You know, the environment is very particular, and we stick by the environment and the guidelines that are here. But all of that are just structures to help us be successful, really, and help us be aware. And so it's up to each of us to kind of generate our own inspiration and step into that space and see what we can do.
Yes, 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 it's fabulous. Brilliant.
Neat.
All of it. And great to see, as we're talking, you know, the mirror between here and there and the, you know, the incredible similarities.
Yeah, I love that. Well, what that tells me is that it points to the integrity of practice.
Yes.
You know, that it doesn't, the form changes completely. You know, the outward manifestation between here and Cantalamba is completely different, although there are some interesting similarities even there. But the process, that fills in the form or inhabits the form is the same. The same compassion, the same clarity, the same understanding of everyone's adequacy, the same respect, you know, the same unwillingness to make assumptions about people or things.
Yes.
Like that. All that really
yes.
is the same. It's just there's an integrity there that's just remarkable, I think.
Yes, yes. Inspiring. I could go on, and we have a lot of folks here.
Okay, great.
And I have some announcements before
right.
we get to them.
All right.
There is nothing wrong with you. The retreat in North Carolina is open for registration.
Wow, that's exciting. That's going to be fun.
Yes.
Yeah, we haven't done a retreat. There's nothing wrong with your retreat in the East Coast. We used to do them years ago, but it's been quite a while, so we're really excited about this.
Great. This will be offered August 8th through 15th in beautiful Highland Lakes.
Mm-hmm.
And again,
beautiful
that's
place.
In North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And come to the monastery for the retreat, Exploring Intimacy and Relationships. That's June 25th through 29th. Bring conscious awareness to how you approach all the relationships in your life at this shorter 5-day retreat.
Yeah, it's a great retreat, and it's a good place to be, too. We just had our first retreat of the year here at the monastery last week.
Yeah.
We're officially in retreat season and plugging away doing that, and it's fun. And it's exciting for us to have people coming and, you know, all these retreats happening and stuff. So come out and see us.
Great. Great. So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org for more information on these and all our events. Our call-in number today is 888-4-SANGHA. That's 888-472-6442. The show ID is 15406, and then you'll enter your PIN followed by pound. And a reminder to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. Ready, Justin?
I'm ready.
Okay, let's see who we have here. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Ann calling from the Bay Area.
Hey, Ann.
Hi.
Well, this is just one of those unexpected things because, you know, I always call into the radio show and I listen and I never get on, so I didn't expect to get on. So it's just wonderful to be on, and I was so inspired by what Jen was saying about what's going on in Africa.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Oh, it's just, and I just love what you and Michael were talking about how it's the same practice, and it may appear differently, the manifestation, but the idea I get is it's the plant that grows out of it could look very different, but it's all coming from the same soil.
Yeah, that's neat. Well, and you're really speaking from, I think, another manifestation of that. You know, just somebody who's doing a sincere practice in the world. So it's really the same thing. So your life might look different, like very different from, you know, life of somebody who lives here or life of somebody who lives in Cantalumba, but really the process you're practicing is the same.
Yeah. It's just so wonderful to have. I mean, I just, you know, I feel like I'm a broken record because all I ever say anywhere is I'm so grateful for practice. But if I'm going to be a broken record, that's a good one to be.
Definitely. Yeah, way better than the broken records we can get into, you know, in other places.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I remember, you know, Sherry was talking, I'm sure she still talks about it, but you remember her talking for a while about, you know, being a social relief.
Uh-huh.
Because we're, you know, we're tending, we're cleaning up. I mean, to use the garden metaphor, I'm weeding my own garden, so I don't need to get everybody to come in and, you know, commiserate with me about how messy my garden is. I'm weeding my own garden, so if somebody else needs help weeding theirs, I'm available, you know?
That's great, yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of the gift that we can each give, isn't it, is taking care of our own stuff.
I'm just so grateful. You know, I'm sure most people listening are participating, or maybe not, I don't know, but the Stop, Drop, and Breathe program, one of the newer practices we're having,
uh-huh.
I'm just finding that so incredibly helpful because there's many, many things I could say about it, but literally when my, it's kind of like the tweets, you know, when the tweets come out, I have it set that my phone dings when the tweets come out.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I almost don't even have to read what's happening. I hear my phone ding, and no matter what I'm doing, it's like, okay, it's time to stop. It's literally, it's time to stop. It's time to breathe. It's time to turn my attention to something else. And I find that practice of interrupting very helpful because I have a subpersonality who hates to be interrupted.
So that really is helpful, isn't it, to get past that?
Yes. Well, and also to realize that when I hear that sound, it's like a reminder to come back to the breath. And I don't know. I just find it's just so wonderful to go through life with an attitude of mind of I'm here to serve. I'm here to listen compassionately. I don't know. It's just so wonderful to have. And I actually got an email this morning from a friend. Her nephew, who was in his early 30s, was in a car accident on the way home from the doctor and died.
And died.
And you know, I so can easily forget that this is a temporary, precious moment. And so I've really just been really taking in the day and the sun and the grass and, you know, being incarnate in a human form today. It's like, what a gift. And I, you know, I can so easily, just like anybody else, get caught up in, complaining, I guess would be the word, or, you know, going into something wrong mind. There's always something in terms of the content of life that could be better or different.
Mm-hmm.
But wow, you know, the grass is green, the sun is shining, I'm here.
And it is. I mean, when we kind of look at it from that point of view, it really does get kind of amazing, doesn't it? You know, I have a body. You know, my heart's, I got this heart that's beating. I got this air that's coming out of my lungs. I can see, hear, taste, and smell, and feel.
Yes, and what I thought of, Justin, when you just said that, was I thought of the recent email class was such a gift, and I was just recently heard some woman talking about body image. You know, we're focused on how the body looks, and there's a certain way the body should look, and she was saying, you know, I love my body, and when I say that out loud, she didn't say it this way, but what I got from what she said was her body actually heard it, you know, and took it in, like, oh, I'm being loved. But what I think she was talking mainly about her appearance, but what I was getting was, wow, I have a body that works. I have all my limbs, I have all my fingers and my toes, and all my organs work, and wow, you know, I mean, I've been thinking recently how different my life would be if, like, I was blind. And I'm not. I can see. And how I can, that's another thing I can so easily take for granted. All of these things the body does that are miracles.
Yeah. And it's all supporting an intelligence that's aware.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like we were saying in the email class, the body is the vehicle for awakening.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we have this, you know, extra gift in being human to have, you know, this not just to have the perception, but to have the awareness of the perception. And, you know, so it's like, you know, the image people use all the time of, you know, we're sort of life with a capital L experiencing. You know, life has to kind of embody itself in order to find out what life is all about. And, you know, each of us is in that place and has that opportunity. And like you're saying, too, you know, it's so easy to forget it, you know, like just into something wrong mind, or, you know, like that body image thing. It's just such a perfect example of it. You know, I'll focus on what's wrong with my body and completely forget the amazing fact that I have a body, you know, all of those kinds of things, and just what an opportunity it is.
Yeah, well, what I was hearing what you're saying, which, yeah, it's definitely the practice. When I find myself caught in conditioned mind, in something wrong or not enough, to really turn my attention to what is there to be grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have a note on my desk that was from a prior email class saying, you know, focus on what there is to be grateful for, and that becomes the portal to receive all that's available to receive. And it's so true.
Yeah, well, it's obviously working for you. You know,
well, I will get off so somebody else can get on, but it's just, I just want to say thank you to you and to Michael. And yeah, you know, I was just thinking when I called in today, it's like how amazing that everybody shows up every week again and yet again. In fact, I was just talking to a friend today, and she said, what are you doing? I said, well, I have to get to where I'm going because I'm going to call into the radio show. And I just thought, you know, it's just so great. Every week I get to do this, and there are people who are committed to offering this, and it's just so wonderful. So thank you so much.
Yeah, and thank you. We all do it for each other, don't we? Everyone who's
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Take care, Anne. Great to hear your voice.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anne. You're listening to Open Air. Great to have that enthusiasm on the line, Justin.
Uh-huh. Isn't it terrific? Talk about lit up. That is just,
it is terrific.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
And gratitude.
And,
yeah,
go ahead.
And the gratitude.
Yes.
No, I really heard that in what Anne was saying. You know,
yes.
The gratitude. I mean, it's not the only way of talking about it, but it's one way of talking about it. It's the gratitude that opens up the door to that lit up experience.
Yes. 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 Really hard to stay identified when we're grateful.
Very difficult.
Yes. Yes. Okay, we have another caller here.
All right, great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Justin. Hi, Michael. It's Sridevi in San Francisco.
Hey, Sridevi.
Hi.
Hi. I was just calling actually to check in and say hello because I'm going to be leaving my job in just almost exactly a week, which I think
so
is the last. Yeah.
And I think that's an exciting thing. Am I right?
It is a very exciting thing. Conditioning has lots of opinions about it, but it's very exciting. So it's just occurring to me as I was saying, Sridevi from San Francisco, in pretty soon in the future, it's going to be Sridevi from somewhere else. I'm not quite sure where that somewhere else will be, but yeah, that's going to change pretty soon.
It's just wide open at this point.
It is. It is very wide open. And I just want to put in such a great plug for the Zen Coaches program, because through this transition, which is a really major transition for me, I've lived in California my whole life and I'm leaving California to go to Philadelphia temporarily as I explore what else what be available to life and see what drops in.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really great having a coach to talk to weekly to see everything that's coming up, because as you might imagine, conditioning has a lot of opinions about all of the decisions that I've made. And so it's been really helpful to have that practice and that kind of check in on a weekly basis.
Yeah, kind of essential, I bet.
Yeah,
anytime we have something like this, which is, it's such a big opening, obviously. It's an opening for the heart and possibility and for life to drop in things that you've never considered before and to explore all over. And it's also an opening for a conditioning to come in and really throw some big monkey wrenches in or pull in some, big self-hate stuff. So opportunity for, for everything that's in there, and how helpful it is to have a little bit of, someone to bounce some stuff off of and a little bit of coaching, and helping to sort all that out.
Yeah, it's been really wonderful, and I've been just so grateful for that. And that, I think, coupled with recording and listening, it just feels like there's nothing but, recording and listening and the weekly show and the email classes and, the practice everywhere. It's just like a cocoon of practice, wonderfully surrounding me, which I've been really appreciative of.
Yeah, that's a nice thing, it's a cocoon, especially when, I like that because, what's happening in your life is so, I just keep going to open. It was just so open, just so wide open. And to be able to be held, by practice and by awareness as you go through that, what a great thing. Instead of being, I think probably a lot of people in this situation, if, someone who doesn't have practice is going to be stuck a lot of time with conditioning as their companion going through the transition.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, my gosh, that's not what we want.
Yeah. And I thought I would just share real quick one of the fun things that kind of dropped in on one of my Zen coach calls that I have to submit to the website, the recording and listening website, but it's been really helpful for me in a great way, which is sometimes I don't know, I struggle to know exactly the words to say. And sometimes other people know, I read things and I'm like, that's amazing. And I should record that. And I did it with the Dr. Seuss book, Oh, the Places You'll Go.
Oh, wow, that's perfect.
I hadn't read it in a really long time, but it dropped in on a call and I was like, I'm going to do that. And so I read the book and I was literally shocked at how appropriate that book was. And especially not only like, oh, you're off on this journey, but also talking about there's going to be times when things are going to get difficult and it's okay. And don't worry, it'll like pass. And it was it's read in such a fun, playful way that what's so great about it, I found, is it gets around anything conditioning can do because it's in that spirit of fun and play and joy and laughter. And so it just kind of like knocks conditioning out of the way because I'm engaging with that content in such a playful manner. So that's been really fun to listen to. And I listen to it almost every single day when I get up and leave the house.
Wow, that is really neat. Yeah, I love that. I kind of work with that too, just that, kind of on a level of the technique. I've recorded tons of different things that seem like they would be helpful, spiritual kind of things and different books and different things. And like you said, it's amazing how relevant it is when they pop up. Like I put my recordings on shuffle. And so, maybe I'll be looking at a certain issue or something. And so there'll be some things that I've recorded that I'm just seeing. And then they'll pop in something that I have read into the recorder. And so it's kind of like there's all these different sources of information. Some of it's from my own insight, some of it from all these dead authors, and it's like life gets to kind of pick and choose in the recordings that put there what's going to be the most helpful.
Yeah. So I just wanted to call and check in and say it's a week away. So here I go.
Well,
and I'll of course be calling in pretty soon afterwards to say how it's actually going.
Yeah, great.
But, yeah.
Please do. Yeah, it'll be really fun to hear Sridevi from Philadelphia.
I know. And I'm actually very excited because I happen to know the monastery is going to be in Pennsylvania this fall. So there'll be that. I already have it bookmarked on my calendar. So I'm very excited about that.
That's good. Yeah. Well, take good care of yourself. I know this has been big, and
yes.
I bet it'll continue to be big. So glad practice is so much a part of it for you.
Absolutely. Thank you both so much, and have a great rest of the show.
All right. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sri Devi. You're listening to Open Air. Justin, we're going to take a break here and hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back for more callers.
All right, sounds good.
Okay.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers here, Justin.
Okay, thanks, Michael.
Sure. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Justin. This is Judith.
Hey, Judith.
So good to talk to you.
Likewise. How are you?
I'm great. It's been 6 months since I came back to the Sangha and the practice, and it's just been a wonderful change.
Good. I'm glad for you.
I know you are, and I appreciate that. And I just wanted to say how powerful it has been to do the year-long retreat, and I'm so glad I gave myself permission to do that.
So what do you think?
Because there's just so much support and opportunity and participation that's available, and especially the last email class, the whole orientation towards nutrition and fitness and being able to have a close personal communication with my body, find out what it needs, that's right there is just worth so much.
Uh-huh. So important, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. It just changed my whole approach to dealing with my health issues. And then the whole last assignment where we chose a goal for 120 days, and then we're invited to combine it with fundraising for the Africa Project. And that was just what I'd been waiting for. I had always wanted to raise funds for the Africa Project, and I couldn't think of anything that would work for me.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So there it was, and I just chose something that I could accomplish, which is to take 4 walks a week of whatever length, because I don't know how I'm going to feel
uh-huh.
on any given day, and
uh-huh.
then ask for sponsors to donate a certain amount per walk, and it could be $1,
uh-huh.
which would add up to 68, which is going to be my age at my next birthday. So I thought that was perfect.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Or it could be, you know, whatever amount people could afford. So, and I told one person who said she couldn't afford to do it, I said, well, if you send me your good wishes, then I consider you part of the support team, because
uh-huh.
that's at least as important as the money.
Definitely. So,
yeah.
Judith, what are you seeing as you're going through this? I really hear, you know, so you say you came back to practice about 6 months ago, obviously been doing, participating a lot, really lit up about that. So
yeah.
What are you seeing? What's happening for you as you do that?
Well, one of the things I'm seeing is how conditioning undermines my my moments of breakthrough and being fully present, you know, deep, powerful experiences of joy and so on, by trying to push me beyond what my body can handle.
So it uses your body
mm-hmm.
to take away your life and your practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it gives me the message that that's the practice. The practice is to push myself too hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what it was doing all along.
Uh-huh. And obviously that's not what the practice is. What do you see is the practice, if that's not it?
Well, now I see the friendliness of practice.
Uh-huh. I like that. That's a good word, friendliness.
Yeah, that struck me a couple months back in one of the email classes.
Uh-huh. That seems like the appropriate word when referring to the body, doesn't it?
Oh, it does.
We want to have a friendly relationship with our body. It definitely
yeah,
has a
yeah,
friendly
that's...
relationship with us that we ignore a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to be friendly to the body. In your
yes.
case, we don't want to push it. We don't want to make it do things that it can't do.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Sangha's friendly, too.
Yeah.
And feeling that support in a way that I never have before. Your long retreat has done a lot to encourage that.
So allowing yourself to receive the support, possibly.
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what happened when I decided to come back. I just went, okay, we're not having any more discussions about whether or not this is the right decision or this is the right path for me or anything else. I'm going back, and I'm just going to embrace it fully.
You know, wow, that is so good. That really is the only attitude that works, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, any kind of second guessing, you know, that just undermines the entire thing. It puts conditioning in charge of it. But I would imagine your time away probably helped you to get there. However you got there, you've gotten to a place where you're just willing to commit and not entertain what the voices have to say about that, and immediately the benefit comes.
Yeah.
From the commitment.
That's for sure. And letting life guide me, that's just been a huge benefit of the whole past 6 months, being able to have that experience.
Yeah, which it obviously is doing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It obviously is. You're right.
Yeah.
And when it does, it gives me the energy to do it with.
Yeah, it does. It provides all of it, doesn't it? I mean, if you look to your experience, I wonder if you would, if this is my experience, see if this is yours, that, you know, we can't even really say something like, I decided to come back to practice.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to say it that way because that's common speech, but it doesn't really say what happened.
Yeah.
You know, usually it's like, oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, that was it. I had been listening to Open Air every night for almost a year. And all these opportunities, for things that I could participate from a distance in,
uh-huh.
kept being mentioned over and over, and conditionally make this comment about, oh, Zen awareness coaching, that just sounds so whatever.
Uh-huh.
And after a while, I couldn't go along with it. It was like, that sounds wonderful. I want to do it.
Yeah, and so you really step back from the voices, and you access your heart and what your heart wants, and from there it's easy, isn't it? It's just
mm-hmm.
an automatic yes. And like you say, you know, the energy is there suddenly,
yeah.
because the you know, in that other place, all that's going on there, you know, condition doesn't care about whether we do practice or not. All
yeah.
it cares about is just is being plugged in and sucking that life force.
Right.
And if you unplug it, suddenly all that energy is there and available to you, and you know, and that's the lit up experience.
Yeah. So I am just, I feel very blessed that I was able to take that step that brought me back to this place where so much is available.
Yeah, yeah, that is.
And that now I can do something to give back with the fundraising.
Yeah, that's neat, isn't it? Yeah,
it's very exciting.
That is exciting.
I got the inner team of the of me and the body and the mentor, and then I've got the Sangha team, and it's all one big thing.
Yeah, and it's important to be able to give back.
It really feels great. It feels like being able to be part of something much bigger
than
all my little personal issues.
Yep, yeah, and it's just, it's the next step past conditioning, too.
It sure is. You know, that's going to be fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it will. It will have a thing or two to say.
Well, thank you, Justin.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in.
I'm so glad. Bye.
Okay, take care.
You too.
Thanks for joining us, Judith. You're listening to Open Air. And we have more callers here, Justin.
Thanks.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jill in Brooklyn.
Hey, Jill.
Hey,
hi.
Justin. Michael.
What's going on?
I didn't know what I was going to talk about when I called, but I wrote down eating the donut. So I guess I'll talk about eating the donut.
That sounds like a place to start.
Yeah. First of all, calling in for me is just like, it in itself is a spiritual experience. Like, I always have this a huge shift when I participate like this. I'm always astounded as to the power of it. Like, it's really amazing.
It is amazing. The other thing it does is it shows us where we are. I don't know if you have that experience too.
Absolutely.
But in order
to
step into that larger place, and you can see the place you're in just a moment before, and that can be really, really helpful.
I just don't, it's a mystery. Like, how, where I am can be reflected back to me by just calling. You know, it's like, I don't really, it's really powerful for me. I'm so glad I did it tonight, because I was sort of in this story about something, which I guess I'll talk about because that came to mind. But so I have this habit of eating this particular donut occasionally when I walk by this donut shop.
Okay.
And I made a recording for that moment, right? It's where, you know, it's an encouragement to, you know, just look and see, like, what's happening. And that maybe there's a possibility there to not do it, you know?
So you haven't,
just
to make sure I understand, so you haven't decided that's something you don't want to do or anything like that. You're just exploring. And you have a recording that helps you remember that you're exploring that when you walk by.
Yeah, because it's a very particular, process that happens to me when I walk by that place, which is like, you're getting a donut. Like, no, there, to me, it feels like I'm in some process where there's no choice.
Uh-huh. Yes, that's it, isn't it? And that's probably what really got your attention.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't
have
a choice. When we don't have a choice, then that really is something to attend to.
Yeah, and it's exactly what you said. It got my attention, and so I thought, well, I can sort of let that person know who is feeling, you know, no choice. Let them know there is a choice, you know, like, you know, this happens to us when you walk by this place, and, you know, it's like a karmic thing, and not that big a deal, but just know that, you know, this is why sometimes we don't like to eat them. just we're trying to do these things for the body and blah, blah, blah. And so I did it. So I walked by the donut place twice during the time I had possession of this recording. And the first time I did it, I listened to it while I was in line. And the most extraordinary thing happened, which is like I just walked out. Like it was a huge change in behavior for me. Like it was really wild. And then the next time I walked by there, there was a strong voice that said, like, don't listen to that recording. Don't listen to that recording.
I bet there was a strong voice that said that.
Say again?
I said, I bet there was a strong voice that said that.
Well, what's funny is before I called, I was thinking that that was a problem or that somehow, like, the recording was null and void. It didn't work anymore. Like, I'm going to have to come up with some other way, some other thing. But while I was sitting on the call, what dropped in was like, so I didn't listen to it that time. Like, big deal. it doesn't mean that I won't listen to it the next time or, you know, any of that stuff. But what I noticed was there was this whole other story creating about I guess, hopelessness in some ways.
That's kind of what I've been wondering as you've been talking. Did you get a peep at what's underneath all this? Because obviously it's not about the donut, right? I mean, that's
right.
Pretty clear. But there's some strong feelings there. So any idea of what this is actually all about?
Some strong feelings. No, but I'm very intrigued. I never thought of what was going on in terms of strong feelings, but.
Well, that may have been a misprojection. What I was going by there is, you know, you go up to you're walking by the bakery or whatever it is, and I'm having a donut. Or I think you might even said you're having a donut.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, that's strong language.
Yeah.
You know, and so, I mean, what, you know, just what comes up in me is, you know, if we're kind of looking at this as sort of like a science experiment or something, or a animal behavior study or something, you know, that's interesting. That why is that so important?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's going on there? Obviously, you know, the donut is not needed for sustaining life.
Right.
Sure. It's like there's some kind of things that are a little bit, you know, not everybody's happy about eating the donuts.
Uh-huh.
There's a strong urge to do it. But the motivation that's underneath that is invisible.
Uh-huh.
And that's just
that's just
really curious, you know, like what is going on there? You know, what does the donut represent?
You know, yeah, I thought that's what you were where you were going, and I mean, well, I don't know, except that I know the conversation that happens around it, which is, we haven't had one in a long time, you deserve it, you know, it's not going to kill you, you only live once. Like, so I mean, I'm aware of how this person gets talked into it in the past. But whether or not, the strong feeling,
I mean, it could be as simple, I mean, I don't know what it is, but it could be as simple as, this is the way you get beat up.
Yeah, that rings that hits home a little bit more than...
It's very likely. You'll have to look and see, but I'm just looking in terms of my own experience.
Yeah.
And stuff like this, it's very often the case that there is a, you know, a young person inside who's being used by conditioning.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, if I looked at that situation for myself, maybe it would be, you know, somebody who really wants to be maybe attended to, acknowledged in some way, appreciated, something like that. And if that's not there, if that's not a part of what is happening, like he is not being attended that way or loved in the way that he wants to be or that kind of thing, then he's going to start looking for a substitute.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and a lot of us were conditioned with substitutes. You know, you don't get the unconditional love and acceptance, but you do get the cookie.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
these kind of things. And so, yeah, that kind of thing, it just, it makes me wonder about that kind of thing, because it would be just so the way conditioning does it to have, you know, a young person with, we might say, an authentic need.
Mm-hmm.
The need
yeah.
is being used by conditioning in order to produce suffering.
Yeah, and what just dropped in is that then that donut thing actually starts a lot sooner, because I think what part of the story is that, you know, conditioning, and I think I got to this because you said something used by conditioning, is that, you know, sub or, you know, has been used by conditioning throughout the day or something. And then this is some reward for having done that. Because then when it hits, I must already be in relationship with it or have been throughout the day, so that the seeds are sort of being planted.
Yeah, I think you just nailed it. I bet you anything that's what's going on. So, of course, I don't know what it is for you, but, like, we could make up a scenario that would be like, you know, I'm living this life that, God, this is so hard, and I have to do all these things I don't really want to do, and people are telling me what to do all the time, and, you know, I don't hate this job, and, you know, I got to do this, and I got to do that, but at least I get something for me.
You know,
there's going to be some time in the day where I get some pleasure for me. I get something that's just for me.
Yeah.
And that, you know, when I talk the thing about strong feelings, you know, that's a really strong motivation. The content is very small, because that's really kind of all that's allowed. You know, you don't get unconditional love and acceptance, you know, in the system. You get the donut.
Right.
But you think about a person who is, you know, basically living in a story where, like, let's say, you know, life is really hard and they're just surviving it. That's pretty much the most important thing in the entire world, is getting that one thing for me.
Right. And what's tricky about it is that the story isn't that life is really hard. The story is that, you know, life is a little bit hard, or, you know, that it's like it's almost perfect, or it's, you know, it should be perfect, but these little things happen today that sort of, you know, it's more of like a haze than like a sharp pain that is being sort of balmed by the donuts. So that's sort of the slippery thing, I think, that I am interested to see, because it feels very like, I'll just call it compulsion, is the same. Like it's just, I have no choice over it.
The process
but,
is exactly the same, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, like, you know, if the story was some huge thing, then maybe the compensation would be you need a trip to the Bahamas.
Right.
Instead of the donut. But it's not. You know, it's small, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's big or small, because as long as conditioning can get you in a place where you have no choice,
then that's
really what it's going for. And I think the choice, tell me if this is what you see too, the choice is between, it is not giving you the choice to really receive what is needed that is represented by the donut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in some way, that story is blocking, perhaps, you know, the reception of the amazing nature of your life as it is. All that's there that is available to you, all there is to be grateful for, you know?
Absolutely.
All of that gets taken away, and all you get is a donut, and you get beaten up for the donut.
And I don't even get that, because what happens, and I've noticed this over and over again, is that I love that this is what we're talking about for some reason, but if I buy the donut, I'm not even there to eat it. Like, because I'm already, and that was something that dropped in for me earlier today, which is that it's really not, I mean, it's not the content. It's like, it's just that, you know, these actions are coming from someplace other than from life. So I'm in a process where I'm just checked out, you know, so I'm checked out when I make the quote-unquote decision, I'm checked out when I buy it, I'm checked out when I'm eating it. So it's like there's no pleasure in it.
Yeah, and you're checked in to a process that is taking your life force away through your attention.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there are all kinds of fun things you could do with this. You've probably thought of them, but, you know, you could, I mean, just as I love the attitude of mind you were describing earlier of, you know, you're not going to decide, that's the wrong, eating the donut's the wrong thing to do. I'm never going to do that again because that would just be another part of the whole system.
Right.
You're going to explore it. You're going to use it as an opportunity to find out what's really going on there and hopefully to learn how to provide in an authentic way what is needed.
Mm-hmm.
Providing that instead of this substitute. So you could do things like, get the donut, but instead of just doing whatever you do, don't head out the door down the street, but you're going to sit there and you're going to eat it really mindfully.
Mm.
You're going to have one little bit at a time. You're going to put you maybe eat it with, I don't think people usually eat donuts with utensils, but get a utensil, and eat it with a fork, put it on a plate, one bite at a time, put your plate down between each bite. If you can do it in a way that doesn't make you feel just completely like a fish in a fishbowl, make gassho in between each bite, or something like that to really be there with it.
Mm.
Other things you could do, you could go by and one day you get it, one day you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You're off schedule, alternating schedule. You flip a coin every time you go by it, or all kinds of fun things that would just be ways to shake up the grip that the system has. Kind of give it's basically like a mechanism for giving the choice over to something else. So you're giving the choice to the coin instead of to the conditioning.
Mm.
And then in all of those, just seeing what happens. Because I bet you just tons will be revealed as you go through that and start to unravel this rather than just acting automatically out of the conditioned process.
That, I'm so glad that you suggested those things. Those sound amazing to me. And also, too, it really does, I'm really taking to heart this thing, which is, like, it doesn't matter if I have it or not, whereas, I know I said that earlier, like, it's a lot about the donut, but I can feel in me somehow there's an idea that this, I should not eat these,
Yeah.
And that, somehow practice can be applied to this so that we don't eat these. And so once again, I'm always surprised. It's like, no, you go into it. You go into it. It's not about solving some problem.
Yes. Well, it seems like if anything matters, it's that part of you who is, I keep projecting a young part, who is trapped in this, who wants something authentic but doesn't get it and gets this instead, that it seems like if anything matters, it's that she gets what she's looking for.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you're advocating for her, because I can also too feel like I don't know where she is, but I know she's there. Yeah, the one who conditioning talks to about this.
I love this because it's it's funny because it's a fun content. It's a small content, but all of practice is tied up in it. Because, in order for you to be able to provide that, you're going to have to bring awareness to it. You're going to have to see the practices that are going on. You're going to have to get self-hate out of the way.
Yeah.
You're going to just have to dismantle this whole package that conditioning has wrapped up around this person in order to find out what's going on there and how to attend to her in a way that is, what she's really looking for.
Yeah. I just heard conditioning say, we're never eating another donut.
Yeah, and you're on to that.
There's too much to learn. I'm totally on to that. Yeah.
I thought of another little trick. You can get a different donut.
Oh, yes. That's fantastic. Because it is. It's always the same one. Love it. That's great.
Okay. Well, good luck with that. It sounds like a really fun project.
Oh, yeah. It is now. It sounds wonderful. So, yes. Keep that show. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks. Take care. Good night, Jill.
All right. You too. Take care. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jill. You're listening to Open Air. I could relate to every word of that conversation, Justin.
Yeah, I bet we all could. That is just the human process, conditioned human process in a really simple example, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it was great. We have about 5 minutes to the hour. I think we could fit in one more. What do you think?
I do too.
Okay, let's go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Justin, it's Lakota.
Hey, Lakota.
Hey. Oh, I'm so excited to get on the air and get a chance to talk with you guys. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. How's it going?
Kind of all over the place. I really appreciated that last conversation. I was tracking right along and just feeling like, wow, it's just always so helpful hearing other callers talk. It's always exactly what I need to hear.
Yeah, it helps to have a different content than your own, doesn't it?
Yeah,
then you
it sure
can
does.
You see the process so much more clearly.
That's the truth. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I guess kind of what I've been looking at is this really interesting place of 1 foot, in this very moment, kind of 1 foot in the dark room, 1 foot in the light room, in and out really quick.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There was a period where it really felt like there was a series of actions and series of circumstances, like a really busy schedule, a lot of stress, responding to the stress with eating a lot of donuts, things like that. Well, and just and that's just kind of a metaphor for doing a lot of things that were not super helpful for the body. And then the body not feeling as good, and then other things kind of slide. You know, it was like this slippery slope. Once things started sliding, a whole bunch of things started sliding. Like, I wound up my rest started becoming a little less regular. And then crazy stuff started sliding in. Like, I don't even like TV, but I found myself watching TV. And stuff like that was just sliding in this direction. And
Everything's sliding,
yeah. And then, there were certain things that, you know, they weren't going to slide, that I had made these really rock-solid commitments to, and they weren't going to slide. But it was like everything else that wasn't, like, bolted down was stuck.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't know, like this morning kind of woke up and was like, gosh, wow, I feel really crummy. And there was this, I got a taste, and this is, just to put it in context, this was interesting because it was coming on the backdrop of months and months of feeling as amazing as I've ever felt in my whole life. And just
we could have predicted that, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Rock solid in practice, like lit up and just, you know, on fire and aligned with life, and things were great. And this morning, kind of like, well, I guess for the past few days, just kind of like getting a little glimpse of that really brutal dark room kind of hell state that I have in the past years ago, like would be stuck in sometimes for years. And it was just, oh, I don't know, in a way, like such a great reminder, like, oh, wowie.
Uh-huh. Here's what comes up for me, and this may be completely inaccurate, but tell me what you think.
Yeah.
I wonder if you're if you're moving to the next level.
Oh. Wow. That's not what I would have, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Say more about that.
Well, I wonder. I just look, you know, I can relate to your experience very much, as I imagine probably everybody listening to the call can. And, you know, that's what I've doped out for myself is going on a lot of times with those things. Conditioning will frame it like something like that as like a lapse or, you know, backsliding or this kind of thing. But I don't think that's what's going on a lot of times. I think especially when it follows, like you're saying, a period of just rock solid practice and commitment to practice.
Yeah.
What I've noticed is happening for me in a way there is in a way that I'm actually not really aware of, there's a movement happening just to the next level. And there's a place at which conditioning gets threatened enough to really pull out the big stuff as that move being made. And it looks like I have like lapsed. But what's actually happening, I think, is that I've taken a step that I haven't taken before, and it just says freaks out the whole system. all that stuff comes in. And, of course, you know, I go for it because that's just what always happens. But then, you know, when I come out, it's, you know, you're kind of in the middle of it right now, so it's hard to say, but it'll be interesting to see what happens for you when you come out. But when I come out the other side, a lot of times I can see, wow, I can see what was happening. You know, I am in a completely different place now than I was before that happened. And that's that's what all that darkness stuff was all about.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
Sounds like somebody needs to wake up back there. Is that Reveille?
No, I apologize. I'm a little distracted by the. I work on Army Post these days. That's where we're stationed. And so, every day at 1700, it goes off. So, yeah, anyway. That's really resonating. I have been really going up against it, and it completely makes sense that it would be freaking out. And it's just that it's that great thing of like I'm so happy I have an opportunity to check in, because when I'm in it, it's like even when I'm just kind of one foot in, it's still like I'm disidentified enough to be able to say that I see that I'm in it, kind of thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it's that illusion. I mean, it can feel so real, like something's wrong, and it's just so great to be able to step back and like I just got the image of like. Getting kind of knocked off the boat and floating in the water, and then reaching up and a friend on the boat gives out helping hand.
I get a little hand back on board. Yeah.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
Tell me if this is what you would say about yourself, that at this point you're not gonna abandon the path you're on.
No way. No way. There's no way.
So there's a trust that's there.
Yeah.
For the human. That sort of provides a container for these kind of experiences to happen in.
Mm-hmm.
No, because you can go into as dark a places as you know, and you know that's not going to cause you to abandon the path. And so it ends up really being a powerful mechanism for going beyond conditioning, because you don't have to keep parts of it out because you don't trust yourself enough to go through them. They can come in because you know that you're going to come out the other side. There's going to be a container of awareness and loving kindness that is happening in that's going to carry you through, and you're going to get spit out the other side with a deeper understanding of life and with even more of a commitment to your life and practice.
Boy, that is so inspiring. And I feel it. Yeah, I feel that to be so. And there's that with that kind of recognition of that bigger container. There's this like courage to look even deeper, and like a gentle patience. Just that, you know. Yeah, I do know. This will pass. Whatever there is to be seen in it will be seen. I can look as deeply as I want to look right now, and I'll see what there is to see. It and in my experience, every time something like this happens, I look back and it's like, wow, I'm thankful for it. I've learned mm-hmm. something. It's like I opened more deeply, and I feel more connection and more love, and it's always a wonderful thing.
It is. Yeah, going through it, it's like this stinks, you know.
Yeah.
But on the other side, it's like, wow, that was helpful.
Well, hot dog, I can't wait to talk in a few weeks or a few months or whenever and see what it looks like on the other side.
Yeah.
But I don't want to rush ahead. I'll just be right here.
That's great. Good.
Well, thanks so much.
Yeah, very fine. Well, thanks for calling, Lakota.
Yeah, I look forward to talking again.
Yeah, no doubt. Have a good evening.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lakota. And that was a powerful way to end the show, Justin.
Yeah, that was good, wasn't it? That was very helpful.
That was great. That was great. And I so appreciate your presence and willingness and guidance for all of us tonight. It's been wonderful.
Okay, thanks. And thank you to you too, Michael.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. We'll do it again.
Yeah, let's do it again soon.
Okay. Thank you, Justin.
Take care. All right.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.